service. Anybody got an idea? When you serve someone, what are you doing? You're helping them do something that they cannot do themselves, maybe? Let's hear a little more of the storyline this morning on the first song. It'll help us to know what service is about. So let's go ahead with that first song and story. I need to scoot back to see it. You can.
Come on, Heather. It's time to eat. I can smell dinner way out here. Hi, kids. Mom, this looks great. I'll start setting the table.
Thank you, but this dinner is not for us. I know it's your favorite. I hope it's the Miller's favorite, too.
The Miller's?
I just heard Mrs. Miller is in the hospital, and I thought we could help their family by taking them a meal. Each of you carry something, and I believe we can make it in one trip.
Even the sweet rolls?
Yes, and I've counted them, so no snitching. I'll try to explain as we go. When Mrs. Miller isn't home because she's feeling bad, and Mr. Miller's all alone and feeling rather sad, and they both need someone who cares to brighten up their day, what should we do?
Give our dinner away?
Let me explain.
Because a friend in need is a friend indeed. Let's be a friend to a friend. We'll be a friend indeed. A friend in need, for we may not ever have that chance again.
And think about the winter when the roads are packed with snow and people are afraid to drive for fear their cars won't go. Then sure enough, some travelers get very firmly stuck.
What should we do?
Get Dad to shovel it?
There's a word for it, you know, service.
All right, what do we learn from that song? When somebody's stuck in the snow, what do? We try to help them, don't we? You know, Madison, you know, the other night, your dad helped somebody whose car couldn't start. And I said, okay, where's Jay? We need help on this. So your dad helped. Got some jumper cables out and help. What else in the story? When someone needed some food, what did they do?
Gave him some.
Gave them some food, did some cooking, and took it to them in need. And so when people get older and they don't move around quite as fast, sometimes what are they like? What do they like over here? What do you see that they like? What do sometimes the older people like?
Other people?
They do. They like young people just to sit down and talk to them, don't they? So probably your grandparents or maybe even me enjoy you sitting down and talking to us, moving a little slower at times. Well, you know, last week we had some missionaries to talk. We had John Elrod and Hannah Duke, and they talked about going to a foreign land. Why do you think they did that? I think it's because they love those people and they love God. So because they love to serve. And because they've served, they probably love a lot more, don't you? Okay. And we've had some other missionaries in the past. We had Cindy Witham, and we had Glenn Davis talk about going to foreign lands. And we've had the teens talk about inner city work, going to inner city Huntsville. Why do you think they went? Do you think they went to serve and to help and became friends with many of the people there? Think so? Does that sound good? Now, what about your families? Do you ever do service in your family? Does your family do service? Does your mom and dad do service to you? What does your mom and dad do that you would call service? Okay, I should look over here. Anybody? What does mom and dad do that serves you? Who does the cooking in the family?
Mom.
Okay, who does the car repair?
Dad.
Who mows the lawn?
Dad.
Dad? Okay. Is that service? Who washes your clothes? Your mom does that? Okay, and that helps serve the whole family, doesn't it? Sometimes you need to help too. Sometimes maybe brother or sister needs some help with homework. Do you help?
Yeah.
Well, that's not just a chore. That can be service, can it?
I don't need no help with homework.
You don't need no help? Well, someday you will need some help. Mom and Dad, he's going to need some help real soon. We all need help, don't we? And we need to be helpful in the family. As brothers and sisters need help. And you know, someday you're going to look back on your family and you're going to have memories of whether they were helpful to you or not. So families, we need to talk about this. The help that we give each other begins at home in families. Amen? So let's sing this last song together and then you can go back to your seat. Okay, thank you so much, kids. Appreciate it. Okay, let's give them a big hand as they go back to their seats. Thank you, kids. Thank you. Okay. Fortunately, I'm not shy for somebody to fix my ear publicly. Well, we want to talk a little bit about service. And those songs and the story reminds us that there are all kinds of ways to serve, right? Just God throws all kinds of people out in front of us that we can serve if we are willing. Do you believe that? If we think church is all about attendance or what God can do for us, that's only the beginning. God wants to do things for you in order that you can help others. Now, I want to begin by reading some scriptures found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. It's some of those last pages of the Bible. We start of forgetting to read them because they mention some names of people we don't know. They're very foreign. Listen to what Paul says. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you, brothers, to submit to such as these and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. Did you notice that? I wonder what they were doing. Service of the saints. I tend to think they were doing whatever it takes to encourage your faith, right? They were willing to use themselves financially. They were willing to spend their time because of their love for the Lord. And kids, I want to send you home with this, and I want your parents to remember this. It's kind of like a circle. The more we love, the more we serve. The more we serve, the more we love. Do you believe that? You know, that passage that Jesus talked about washing feet, was in the context of saying, you're my friends if you obey my commands. And my commands is that you love one another. But in that, Jesus said he's come to minister to others. He's come to minister to them by washing feet and says that's the very thing that we should do. Now, he's not encouraging us, I don't believe, to everyone get down and wash each other's feet, literally. But he's saying that there's a service that needs to be rendered to each other, a kind of respect, a kind of love, a kind of doing what needs to be done in opportunities that we can show. Now, another verse in the Bible that I'd like to look at is Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Now, within the context of much of the Bible, there's this thing about faith and works. And you've been in classes that argued about faith and works. But you know, James says, I'd rather see a work any day than to hear about one. So he's saying here that faith needs to work. It needs to show itself. It needs to demonstrate itself in service. Do you believe that? So that is simply one more step up the ladder of how we serve, how we become like Jesus, serving in His name. And I'm wondering about all the wonderful opportunities that God has given. Now, if I were to rehearse many of the things that I know in this congregation, it would probably take the rest of this time. But I know that many of you serve regularly, thoughtfully, prayerfully. You serve with your money. You serve with your time. You present yourself vitally in many ways. On the other hand, there's probably many people here that really don't serve at all, and you haven't thought a great deal about it. I want you to think about those verses that we looked at. I want you to think about the importance of what it means to Christ that you become involved in some element of serving. Now, I wanted this lesson today to be very practical and something that would let us know how important service is to Christ and to His kingdom in this community. So I wanted to be very specific. In our little story about the children that were excited about going and eating the food, Mom was saying, it's not for you, it's for someone in need. She was teaching them about service. So we have the perfect example of this, and I couldn't help but think about Elaine Markram and people that serve with her in the food preparation ministry. Now, oftentimes, we don't always see what they do. If you go to the hospital, you've been injured or something, we've been there. Lane was recently injured with shoulder and back, and here's some food showed up several times, and we appreciated it deeply. So we see that personally. Maybe you've been the recipients of that. On the other hand, when people come home from the hospitals or there's a funeral and there's a need for 30 or 40 people to be served, who does that kind of work? So I asked Elaine for permission to talk to her, and last night she said, well, you know, I do kind of head this up, but she has 5 food coordinators. And here are people that are serving a vital ministry that we don't always know about. She said, Jane Markram is my co-leader. And Kathy Matthews works very closely with them. And then she mentioned her food leaders, Marina Bynum, Brittany Taylor, LaDoris Ackerman, Sue Banks, and Marilyn Howard. Now, these are just the leaders. She said, I have 50 or 60 people that have volunteered that we can call at any time. Now, we might just ask one or two people to serve if there's individuals, but if there is a need, we can call 2 or 3 of these food groups. Now, let me ask, is that a way that really gives service and meaning? It was for us when we needed food. How about you? Have you been on the receiving end of that? You know how good it feels. Now, of course, we could have come home and gone down to Wendy's. Of course, we could have gone down to one of the other places, but to have someone alleviate that from us or from you by cooking a home-cooked meal, bringing it over, kind of wrapped in love and express prayerful thoughts, that's really something very wonderful. So I want to thank Elaine. I want to thank the food coordinators. I want to thank the 50 or 60 people whose names I'm not going to mention, just to save time, to thank you for your service to Christ. Now, the more you serve, is it true, the more you love? Is it true, the more you love, the more you serve? You think Elaine could use some help? Maybe that's an area that you'd like to sign up in. Now, a lot of times we talk about CR, because CR is doing a lot. I mean, we had 67 people here the other night, 10 new people. We're delighted. But today I wanted to mention some areas that don't always get the attention. And this week, Marilyn Hyatt was telling me about their ladies' jail ministry. We have some people that go down to the jail every Tuesday morning to study, to pray, to minister to the ladies, and they don't get all the attention. So I wanted to mention this on behalf of Marilyn and that group. Maybe this is an area that you could get involved in, but I also want you to know this. Marilyn said several weeks back, I wanted to come down to the front, and I was reluctant. I didn't want to come down to the front. And she asked me, do you think I should come down to the front and pray? Isn't that right, Marilyn? And I said, you know, if you have any doubts, you should pray, because church is about praying, isn't it? So Marilyn came down and prayed. She said, we don't have a slot to go down there, and we want to pray that their hearts will be open so that we can go on a Tuesday morning. And guess what? It became open. And so she wants to thank you as a church for engaging in prayer. Now, is that a service? I don't think there's a greater service for praying than members of the church. Thank you, elders, for laying hands on her. Thank you, church, for praying and joining with Marilyn. And as a result of this, Marilyn Howard, that one time in class said, I don't want to read the Bible, is now leading in several ministries, but I'm very appreciative of this. Marilyn says Lisa Ellis is going down there, and Lisa is teaching a lesson and comforting women and is very, very good. So thank you, Lisa. Kathy Patterson, what a wonderful person. Always ready to give a lesson, always encouraging the ladies. Barbara Smith, who acts like a servant, who is taking things over to the halfway house where these ladies get out. And Helena Salisbury, your name was mentioned. And she said, Elena is a whatever person. She is encouraging, and whatever she needs to do, she has volunteered. So thank you, Helena. Mary Hall, you were mentioned as having a warm, loving heart, but I already knew that about you because you were in our small group. Thank you for your willingness to serve there. And Brenda K. Meadows went this last week, and Marilyn said that Brenda K. had never spoken to adults before, but she gave up her comfort level and risked the opportunity by canceling a doctor's appointment that she had so she could go and give a personal testimony in jail to the ladies. And Brenda gave a wonderful testimony. Thank you, Brenda, for your involvement. Brenda told me the other night that it probably did more good for her than it did the ladies. And I think the truth is it did good for everybody. Do you believe that? Now, is that a ministry that you could do? Well, I'll tell you this. A couple of years ago, it's not a ministry that Marilyn Howard could do. It's not. But she's prayed about it. She's grown. She said, Lord, open the doors that I can serve. Is that you? Maybe the Lord would show you an area that you could serve. So I want to say, Marilyn, thank you, and thank the ladies who are participating in that ministry. By the way, I forgot to mention one other thing that Elaine told me. I've got it written right down here. She said, I could not do this job without 50 or 60 people willing to help. And that's probably the same that Marilyn would say, maybe not with 50 or 60. Now, we're coming upon this season of upwards basketball, so I wanted to call Lenny and get some specifics on this, because every year we see all kinds of cars in the back. We see teams at work. We see coaches going on. So what is it about upward basketball that's so compelling? It's a Christian environment, an atmosphere, testimonials, people coming, sharing in a non-competitive way where everyone is encouraged. Is that right? Is that pretty much it, Lenny? And Christ gets the glory. We want to look to Him and say, we're serving in the name of Christ. So I asked Lenny to tell me some things about Upwards. He says every week they have somewhere about 100 people per week that are engaging in service. That's phenomenal. And during evaluation time, there's at least 20 people that are involved in service. I said, that's very good, Lenny. Tell me some more specifics. He said, well, we have 65 coaches. We have about 15 referees. We have 20 popcorn poppers. We have folks that clean up. And he said, by the way, we need extra folks to clean up because we're always there the whole time. Thank you for your involvement. But Lenny's saying it takes a lot of people to be involved, and a lot of people are. Is it a good service? Is it a good place to begin? Yes. Now, I'm not going to name 100 people, but I did ask him to name some of the names of people that are involved in major ways. And he said, well, a game coordinator, that's Marina. Game coordinator, Jerry Kreitz is the announcer scheduler. Martha Swanger is the prayer partner. She arranges people to pray for this ministry. And Ken Bynum is the whatever person. Whatever needs to be done, he will do it, whether it's the video, whether it's the AV setup, whether it's the computers, whatever. So thank you, Ken. Terry Phillips is always there popping popcorn. And we're probably going to hear that many times, that she's going to need help. The teens, the first game, do the hot dogs and the chili. Thank you, teens. And the Kincaids are always washing the referee shirts and participating in that, seeing that they are clean. And then he named other church folks, other churches in town that are involved, wishing us well, participating with us. Now, let me just ask you, from what I've named right there, is it a good ministry? Is it a place to serve? You know, I think sometimes our children need to see that we're serving. Maybe that's a good place to start. My earliest remembrance of Christianity probably comes from my dad. My dad was a very rough man and a very angry man for circumstance that had happened in his life. But I remember when he came to Christ with very little education and with a very fleeting possibility of what to do, he would read the Bible in a very literal way and say, God wants me to help widows and orphans in their time of need. One thing I will say about my dad is he had this large garden, and I remember him pushing this old-fashioned plow back behind it. You know, it's the kind that you use literal manpower to push. And he always had a very large garden, which I remember picking bugs off and my responsibility to pick peas and other things like that. So I was helping too, kids. That was part of my service. But I remember my dad would always pick food from the garden, more than we had to put up, more than what we could put in gardens. And he would take it especially to widow ladies, widows that did not have a husband. And maybe things were just a little tight financially. And he would take them food and bless their lives. That's just one way of serving, isn't it? Now let me just ask, what about you? How high a priority is service to you in the kingdom of God? We want our kids to learn about service. I want to close with this scripture. Christ said in Matthew 20, verse 28, that whoever wants to be great needs to become the servant of all. And whoever wants to be first, we like to be number one in sports, but whoever wants to be first in the kingdom will be the slave, the servant of all. Are you up to that? Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, I believe he's saying there that the kingdom of God is about service. And if you love God, you will begin to serve not just God, but you will begin to serve each other. And the greater you become, the more you grow, the more you will serve. And the more you serve, the more you will grow. So let me ask you this question. Do you want to grow in love and in the kingdom of God? Then get busy serving. And as you serve, you will begin to grow in love. Amen? So, as we close and sing this hymn of invitation, I just want to remind you, Christ came to be a servant for your sake. What did he come to do? He came to die and to give his life for your sake and for mine upon the cross, dying for us, rising from the dead, our man in heaven right now, hoping that you will accept his service to save you. If you need to respond to his invitation, we will now sing the invitation hymn.